Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Friday, September the 11th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, how a woman with health anxiety has developed her own sports clothing brand. We find out about some of the historic buildings in Kent opening their doors, and the Jewels boss looks ahead to this weekend's game. But first, a man's due in court today following a fatal stabbing in Maidstone town centre. A man in his 40s died while being treated by paramedics at a property on Knight Rider Street late on Monday. 26-year-old Bradley Patton, who's from Gordon Road in Greater Manchester, has been charged with murder. Elsewhere, a man's gone on trial accused of killing his housemate in a stabbing in Chatham. A court's heard Musa Salih attacked Harley Purdue and planned to steal his money at their home on Thorold Road in December last year. The 19-year-old denies murder and the trial continues. Two men who smuggled £2 million worth of cocaine into Kent have been jailed for a total of 17 years. The drug was found when a lorry was pulled over by police on the A20 in Folkestone in May. A 36-year-old from Belarus and an Albanian national who's 25 have been sentenced at Canterbury Crown Court. Now, Kent Police are going to be using live facial recognition technology in Chatham today to try and catch known offenders. It's all part of their Clear Hold Build scheme, which is aiming to reduce crime by getting rid of those who regularly cause trouble. Cameras are going to be set up in the town today and tomorrow. Lucy's been chatting to Chief Inspector Gary Woodward from Kent Police.
What Clear Hold Build is it's a place-based method of attacking serious and violent crime. As a result of that, we're bringing crime down. We've had some really great interventions over the last couple of months since we've been doing it, but I'm really keen to look at new and emerging technologies to help us to tackle crime, so hence the reason we are delivering live facial recognition over the next few days.
How does the technology work then for people who are out and about on the high street?
Okay, so what the public will see is two CCTV vans. They look no different from any normal CCTV van. And that will be filming that area, and those images will go through a live facial recognition software, which will compare those images to names that we've had uploaded who have committed crimes, are wanted for crimes, for missing people, people who are wanted on warrant, that kind of thing. And that's how it works.
So this is all happening in real time, and then can officers make an arrest there and then if they do spot someone?
Yeah, so how it works is we'll be alerted if somebody's image matches one on our database. A police officer in the van will then physically look at those images to make sure that they match. They will then contact a police officer who will be on the street who will engage with that person. And it's only following that engagement where we'll decide what we're going to do.
And why has Chatham in particular been chosen for this?
Yeah, as I said before, Chatham is our Clear Hold Build area. So Clear Hold Build is a partnership and a kind of full-scale methodology to reduce crime and leave a legacy. It's going to take around 2 years to do. It starts with the Clear, which is where we are at the moment, where the police go in and we look at those that are causing the most harm and impact in that area, and we look to remove them from there. That is the main reason. Crime is coming down in Chatham, but I think we can do better. And it's technologies like this I'm determined to take advantage of.
And you've obviously publicised that you're going to be doing this. Is that something you legally have to do? And are you worried at all that it could put people off going, especially if people know they've done something wrong and they're wanted by police?
Yeah, so we give 7 days' notice, 5 working days' notice, that we are going to deploy facial recognition. That is published on our website, and we will seek to do that as we move forward. In terms of people avoiding it because they're trying to avoid us, this has been going on for a while around the United Kingdom. There's no evidence to suggest that those that are avoiding us tend to avoid that technology. So that's not been the evidence so far.
That's interesting. And you said that this has been going on elsewhere in the UK. Is there any plans to do more of this in Kent, you know, the wider Kent area?
I mean, this is the first opportunity we've had to use it. I think what we'll do is once we've run that for a few days, we'll evaluate it and see what we're going to do moving forward. But we now have the policies. We now have that part of our website. So all I'd say to the public is keep an eye on that, and we'll publish what we do moving forward.
And I know there are some concerns around privacy and things like that. Should people be worried if they're, you know, planning to go into Chatham and you know, do a bit of shopping or something? Should they be worried about these cameras, you know, storing their images and that sort of thing?
Not at all. So for most members of the public, this is basically, it will feel like normal CCTV. Once we have the image of somebody and it's run against our database, if they don't match, it will be removed in a fraction of a second. I think it's 0.4 seconds. Their image will be completely removed. So they've got nothing to worry about.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today. And a Kent man who died in the 9/11 attacks is among those being remembered today as we mark the 25th anniversary. 28-year-old Stephen Lorne was working on the 82nd floor of the South Tower at the World Trade Center in New York when it was hit by a plane on this day in 2001. His family, who live near Canterbury, say he was kind and thoughtful. Remembrance events will be held later to honour the nearly 3,000 people who were killed. Meantime, Kent Fire and Rescue say they're incredibly proud of crew members who took part in a 9/11 memorial stair climb. They travelled to Atlanta, Georgia, where they climbed 110 floors in honour of the 343 firefighters who lost their lives while responding to the attacks. The event raises money for charities that support emergency services. Investigators have been unable to determine the exact cause of a house fire in Paddock Wood, which left a woman dead. Laura Edwards passed away in hospital 4 days after the blaze in Cobbs Close in May. An inquest has heard how she'd suffered severe smoke inhalation and third-degree burns. Her elderly father managed to escape by climbing out of a window onto a conservatory roof. The Kent MP, who's leading a campaign to legalise assisted dying, says she's confident it'll pass a vote in the Commons. Lauren Edwards, who represents Rochester and Strood, has reintroduced the bill after it failed to get through the House of Lords in April. It's due to have its second reading today. Next on today's episode, and the boss of a Thanet-based pub chain has hit out at plans for a new so-called tourist tax. The idea is to give regional mayors the power to introduce a charge to stay in accommodation in their area. They could then decide what that cash is invested in. Well, Phil Thorley runs Thorley Taverns in Thanet.
To be honest, I think we're an overtaxed nation already, and hospitality is particularly overtaxed. And the thought of adding a further level of taxation atop is absolutely abhorrent to our customers, our staff and ourselves.
We've spoken before many, many times about how the hospitality sector has suffered, particularly after COVID and the whole cost of living crisis. Does this feel like another kick for you guys?
It definitely is another kick. You know, we are campaigning extremely hard against this, and it's another campaign that it would appear that we have lost. You know, it is very difficult. We're dealing with a government which has a very big majority and is very much into spending other people's money. But they've got to realise that that can only come from profits. And when you're being bled dry, it's a very difficult place at the moment. You know, we are campaigning extremely hard to get VAT taken down from 20% to 10% to align us with many countries in Europe, which have put a discount in. We are the most heavily taxed country in Europe. And certainly for hospitality, we're the most heaviest taxed country in Europe. So a further tax is just not what we need right now.
Do you think it would genuinely put people off visiting some cities across England if they had to pay more, a little bit more to stay in accommodation?
Look, people haven't got endless budgets. You know, I always talk about the pub being an affordable treat. But, you know, people need to look at budgets wherever they're going, whether they're going on holiday or at work or for whatever they're up to. And you know, money doesn't grow on trees. You know, at the end of the day, they're putting in a holiday tax to give to the local council. We already pay too many council rates. We already pay business rates, which we've been campaigning long and hard to get changed. So all it is tax on tax on tax. And our customers do not wish to pay any more. And certainly we don't want to be further tax collectors for the government.
Kent Online reports.
A care home in Folkestone where residents were being refused baths has been placed in special measures. Inspectors also found a severe lack of activities and mental stimulation for people living at St Clair's. Relatives also said bedrooms were in need of a deep clean. The site will be monitored by the Care Quality Commission to make sure improvements are made. It's been revealed there's been an increase increase in the number of crashes at a crossroads near Ashford, despite safety improvements. 9 collisions have been reported at the four-way junction on the A20 in Smeath since 2019, 3 of them between April and July this year. The County Council say further improvements have been made to the junction, including repairing the road surface and refreshing markings. A couple who've run a pharmacy in Strood for more than 50 years are retiring. Ramveer and Madhu Mangal took over the site on Bryant Road in 1975 after moving out of London. They regularly opened for customers on Christmas Day and also created TikTok videos during the COVID pandemic to dispel some of the myths around vaccines. They're now looking forward to more holidays and spending time with their grandchildren. A Sheppey woman has been telling us about how health anxiety has impacted her life and made her worry about developing a serious illness. Kirsty Lawton started suffering from panic attacks 5 years ago and believes the condition was triggered when her auntie died from cancer. She's now using exercise as a form of treatment and has started a walking group to try and get more women out and moving. Well, Kirsty has been telling me more about it and how it also led to her developing her own sportswear brand.
I personally suffer with health anxiety, and I was advised by a medical professional to not be medicated because for me personally, it wouldn't work. It works for millions of people, but just for my particular case, it wouldn't work. So he asked me to promise him that I would use exercise or continue to exercise and use that as my therapy. I'm 43 years old. I have 3 children. My body isn't what it used to be. And when I was searching for clothing to do these sort of sports, I didn't really feel like I fitted in. You know, I'm not a size perfect and flawless and, you know, a certain age. And I thought, you know, as middle-aged women, you know, exercise is so important for our mental and physical health. The last thing we need is to be putting on clothing where we feel, you know, not sort of like confident and comfortable before we've even walked out the door. So that's where I decided to create Clora, because I want every woman to feel comfortable and confident. Because with exercise, again, I think it's a woman thing. You know, we feel like we can't do certain things because we're not the best at it. And it isn't about that. You know, a gentle walk, a swim, a jog, you know, tennis, whatever it is, you know, can really, really help our mental well-being. So that was why I designed Clora and launched Clora. And the community walks have come with this, because what I've come to realise is, you know, some people want to go for that walk. They want to do certain things, but they're nervous, or they, you know, they don't want to go on their own. So we've done 2 now and we're doing our 3rd one. And it's been really lovely. You know, I've had people turn up that have not known each other. And one thing that's come from the walks is, you know, women have spoken to each other and, oh, I suffer a little bit like that, or I have them insecurities, and then they've spoken about it, and then they've gone and they've built friendships from that, and, you know, and gone on to do things together. So it's just about supporting each other and giving each other confidence.
Do you mind me asking a little or a few questions about the health anxiety? When did you realise that was a bit of an issue, and when were you actually diagnosed?
So it was about 5 years ago now. I mean, I've always been a worrier. I mean, I'm my mum of 3 children. I think it comes with the territory. But I had my first panic attack. That's how I ended up at the pharmacist. And obviously I didn't know what had happened because I'd never had one before. This is when we sort of like realised what was going on. Unfortunately, I lost my auntie to cancer at the age of 62. And I believe, looking back, she was my trigger. And that's kind of what sort of ignites. So basically with me, it's like no rational thoughts. So if something is wrong, my brain goes from 0 to a million. It isn't rational in between. So it's like the worst case scenario. And it's absolutely terrifying. And it's a really lonely place to be. And it's exhausting. It's exhausting when you're overthinking things all the time like that. So it's very, very centered just around health. Nothing else. You know, I work, I've got children, I'm very social. But yeah, health absolutely petrifies me.
And you said that there was some medication that you could have gone on, but was it you who decided you didn't really want to go down that route? Or was it, sorry, just remind me, was it your doctor who said that probably wasn't the best way to go?
So obviously with the health anxiety, you sort of like, there's a worry with taking any tablets anyway, because I think, oh God, what's that? Why is that going in my body? But it was actually a pharmacist that I spoke to. And now when I have spoken to my doctor's amazing, and he's great with me because he knows how I suffer. But the times that I've been in with him before, and he's like, "I'm so glad you are where you are, because I don't." I and he also agrees he doesn't want to put me on medication because for me it would mask it and then it just would get out of control. So it's finding ways of dealing with it, and the best you can really.
Is it quite a common condition, Kirsty? Do you know of other people that have suffered with it or still suffer with it?
Yeah, I do now actually. The more I've spoken about it, the more people have sort of said, "Well, oh, actually, I think I might have something similar, you know, with the worries and things." So actually, yeah. And I think it's so important to talk about because, like I've mentioned, it's a very lonely, scary place, and you do feel like you're going crazy sometimes, you know. And you're like, so to hear that, not that you wish it on anybody else, obviously, but to hear that other people sort of like have similarities to it, it's good to talk about it.
Kent Online reports.
A pub near Canterbury has gone up for auction for less than half the average house price in the area. This is actually one of our most read stories on the website today. The George Inn in Stelling Minas has been given a guide price of £270,000. According to Rightmove, the average sold price in the village is a hefty £745,000. You can see pictures of the pub today by heading to Kent Online. Two new housing developments in Maidstone have been handed over to the council to help meet demand for affordable properties in the area. 43 homes make up the sites on Tunbridge Road and Corbin's Place. We're told they've been designed to be energy efficient with electric heat pumps to help keep energy bills lower. Plans to redevelop a Kent shopping centre and add a boutique cinema have taken another step forward. An emergency application was submitted to try and stop an historic hall building being knocked down due to work at Royal Victoria Place in Tunbridge Wells. That's now been rejected. The new Ely Court area is also due to include a leisure hub and five restaurant units. Now, dozens of buildings in Kent that are normally off limits are going to be opened up over the next 9 days. Heritage Open Days is all about letting us discover some of the history on our doorstep for free. Charles Dickens' Writing Chalet in Rochester and the Brook Theatre, which is being renovated in Chatham, are among those welcoming visitors. I've been chatting to Councillor Nina Gurung, who's a portfolio holder for Heritage, Culture, Leisure and Tourism at Medway Council.
Medway, as we all know, is a place full of rich history, heritage and culture. So many fascinating stories of places, buildings, and history, really. So we've got a very rich and proud heritage. But so often, many of the locations might not necessarily be open to the general public. And Heritage Open Days are a fantastic opportunity for us to work together with heritage partners and local community groups to open up doors so that our local community members as well as visitors who come to Medway can see the amazing places as well as hear the stories and look at the fascinating buildings and get to know about history and the unique stories that make Medway, Medway.
And one that I know a lot of people will be keen to see, although you have to book, and I think the tickets have been snapped up, is the work going on within what was the Old Town Hall, the now Brook Theatre. Tell us a bit about that and how progress is being made on it.
Absolutely. And we are delighted that work has started, you know, with regards to this significant restoration project, which is the Brook Theatre. And we want to make sure that when it is delivered, it is done to the highest standard because that is what Medway deserves, which is why we are leaving no stone unturned to make sure that every part of the Brook Theatre restoration project is delivered to the highest standards. I think we wanted local residents, especially who are very, very keen to find out the different stages and what has been uncovered. So many different facets have been uncovered as part of the restoration project. And I think our engineers, our heritage team, our theatre team are more than happy to share those you know, unique stories. Because of the interest, we added one more Heritage Open Day for the Hard Hat Tour. And again, that was snapped up very, very quickly. So it goes to show that people in Medway are so keen to find out more about this restoration project. And we're happy to deliver.
Is there anywhere that you're particularly keen to visit over the next few days, Nina?
I've been asked this question already, and I have said that I'm keen to visit as many as possible because, believe me, there's just so much on offer, and I would like people to discover themselves, all the fascinating stories that we have to tell. But I think one of the key sort of highlights, as I must admit, is also going to be the Charles Dickens writing, chalet, the Swiss chalet, which is next to the Eastgate House in Rochester, because the National Heritage Lottery Fund is supporting the restoration of this historic chalet that is 160 years old, huge part of the Dickens aura and the story. And, so I think we're very proud that it is in Medway and we need to look after it. And kudos to the Friends Society as well, who've been a huge part of the bidding and all of that. And yeah, everybody seems to be really looking forward to going inside and seeing what is it that inspired Charles Dickens to come up with some like amazing novels inside that writing space.
Staying with things you might want to be getting up to over the weekend, the Whitstable Rocks Oyster Festival starts today. The event will feature the traditional landing of the oysters ceremony, which dates back to 1657. There'll also be live music and family activities across the town over the weekend. A memorial plaque that was found 150 miles away after being washed out to sea during Storm Goretti has been returned to its original location in Kent. It was discovered in a village in Lincolnshire 2 months after being lost off the coast of Sandgate near Folkestone. The plaque has now been attached to a new bench on the Esplanade. New pictures have revealed work on a new Aldi store in Ashford and how it's nearing completion. It's being built on the A28 Canterbury Road in Kennington between the M20 and the Holiday Inn Hotel. The shop's due to open next month. And finally, a popular food truck that's attracted customers from across Kent and beyond is moving to a new location. Mama Soraya's serves street food, including jerk chicken and curried mutton, with a long-standing pitch at the George Pub on City Way in Rochester. The owner's now looking for a change and has decided to move to Warren Wood Social Club.
Kent Online Sports.
Starting off with football, and it's a return to Priestfield for Gillingham in League Two this weekend. They're welcoming Tranmere Rovers after securing their first win of the season last time out. It finished 4-1 away at Rochdale. Well, our sports reporter Luke Cordell has been speaking to manager Gareth Ainsworth, who's been giving a bit of an update on various injuries.
Where it seems like you're getting more positive news with players coming back.
Yeah.
I know you've introduced a lot of decent young players so far. Then Sam Tabarez, the next one maybe we can see in the
league. Yeah, Sam Tabarez is definitely one that you'll see. Let's say Colin McManus, Sheldon Kendall, Logan Dobbs, Harry Waldock, they're all featuring, which is brilliant.
And doing well as well.
And doing well, So I would challenge... I would challenge any other big clubs in League Two, the bigger clubs, to be putting as many youngsters or academy graduates in their team as we are, and I think that's a real positive for the club, and winning or drawing games, we're not losing games with these in. So, I think if you look at the squads we've had and involvements, Silly Booth and Michael Luxton and people like that, they've been on the bench, they've been in and around it. There won't be many teams putting a lot of their graduates on like we do. We've had to, but also the trust is there to do it, and that's brilliant for me. And Bradley Dack, he's still an academy graduate, remember, so we've still got the old guard as well. But really proud of the academy and what they've given me to be able to play in the first team.
Looks like Dackie will have a fight in his hands to get back in the team now, won't he?
They've all got fights on their hands, not just Dackie, there'll be some stage when Dackie will be trying to keep his shirt from everyone else, and that's what I want. So it's not just Bradley. Everyone's got a fight to stay in the team. Like Jack Daly's, knocking at the door. Sheldon Kendall, Gareth McCleary. We've got so many options now. It's great, And Zane Albury's coming back, and Tabarez, and I'm blessed with a lot of options here, and really pleased. Just want to make sure that Will comes back strong and keeps that forward line rocking like it is doing. But four goals away from home last week was great for us, and hopefully we can add to that.
And Lamine came on for Will as well, didn't he? And got his first sort of senior goal as well. That was wonders for him.
They're brilliant for Lamine. He came in right place, right time. He's growing in confidence and stature in the dressing room. He really, I can't even compare what he's going through. It's like one of us going to the Gambia and playing in their division, in their team, and not knowing anyone and not knowing where they live, not really knowing the country, a totally different continent. When you put it like that and thinking, wow, that would be pretty daunting, you know. Well, he's doing it the other way around. He's coming in, you know, and yeah, it's a real baptism for him. But he's handling it really well. And every day he's communicating more, he's smiling more. You know, he's just fitting in really well. But he's been very quiet since he's been here because I think he doesn't know his place and doesn't. But yeah, no, he's a great guy. And when you have a conversation with him, he's a real, you know, interesting person. But yeah, let's give him a little bit of time. He's come a long way from where he was a couple of years ago, and I think that. The journey he's been on is something to be proud of.
On to cricket, and England were hoping to complete a 3-0 Test Series victory against Pakistan at Edgbaston today. They had a second innings lead of 268 runs over the tourists, who resumed this morning on 52 for 2. Former Kent player Jordan Cox, who was born in Margate, is part of the England side. And staying with cricket, Kent were facing a huge challenge on the final day of their county championship match at Derbyshire. The hosts declared on 352 in their second innings yesterday, and Kent were due to resume on 3 without loss when play got back underway. That left them having to score a massive 431 runs to win. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. Don't forget to check out the latest Secret Drinker review on the website today, and head to the What's On pages for details on everything going on in the county over the weekend. Hope you have a good one. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.